From Manu's high school class voted him most likely to come up in the news with the introductory remarks of the skeletal remains identified were those belonging to Daniel Natale. Speaking of skeletal remains, this presentation is rooted in the morbid subject of death, more specifically, in something called mortality dividends. Corporations have been having more and more trouble being profitable. In fact, the trend in the West is that overall growth has been falling since the 1960s. As a result of this, certain companies have been coming up in the news called zombie corporations. These are corporations that don't turn a profit and have never turned a profit. Like a Ponzi scheme, they live not off of productivity, but off of the money of investors. It's gotten so bad that a full quarter of our stock market is reportedly now made up of these fraudulent zombie corporations. In this environment of diminishing growth and companies that don't turn a profit, what are some scammy things a corporation can do, barring actually being productive, to make money? One thing they hit on is insuring their own employees against death. If the employee dies, they get what's called a mortality dividend. In the book Retirement Heist, published in 2012, Ellen Schultz talks about how certain companies were upset that workers weren't dying fast enough.
And some employers were disappointed when employees didn't die quickly enough to generate the anticipated mortality dividends for that year. In a confidential memo in 1991, an insurance agent wrote to Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company that American Electric Power, 20,441 employees covered, American Greetings, 4,000, R.R. Donnelly, 15,624, and Procter & Gamble, 14,987, were acutely aware that mortality was running at only 50% of projected rates. To keep track of when employees and retirees die, employers regularly check the Social Security Administration's database of deaths. That's how CM Holdings monitored its dead former employees. Page after page of a 1990 document called A Death Run lays out the names, ages, and Social Security numbers of more than 1,400 who would be worth more dead than alive. Also included was the amount of money the company was to receive when each employee died, even if the death occurred long after he or she left the job. Older workers would bring the company about $120,000 to $200,000 each, while younger workers would generate $400,000 to almost $500,000 each, the document said. Younger workers yield bigger payouts because, based on actuarial calculations, they are less likely to die soon, so the premium amount buys more coverage for them.
Let's repeat, that book is from 2012, back when mortality rates were low. After 2020, however, mortality rates shot up. Note how Ellen Schultz talks about how insurance payouts were more lucrative if the people dying were young. What a coincidence. The people dying in mass numbers are young. See here.
I think the excess mortality that we're seeing and that we've seen since the rollout, first of all, it's historically unprecedented, right? I mean, a few months ago, a number of life insurance companies were reporting increases in life insurance claims for young working age Americans, 18 to 65, you know, between 18, 23, and up to 40%. And then Lincoln Financial, the fifth largest life insurance company in the country, just a week ago announced that in the last quarter of 2021, I think it was the last quarter, 163% increase in life insurance claims over historical baselines.
Former BlackRock portfolio manager Edward Dowd was discussing the same phenomenon as well. Listen to him talk about it here.
This is the CDC's own data that they aggregate into all ages. The bottom line is my insurance industry expert, former sell-side Wall Street analyst, went into the CDC data. We were looking for other things, but what we found was pretty shocking. He took the data, and it took some time and effort. He did a lot of work. He broke it down by age, and he created baselines for each age group to come up with excess mortality. And the money chart is really chart four, which shows that the millennial age group, 25 to 44, experienced an 84% increase in excess mortality into the fall. It's the worst ever excess mortality, I think, in the history. Just to give you an idea, when you look at chart four, you see when mandates and boosters hit the acceleration into the fall, and then it reaccelerated into the end of the year. The drop off in that data you see there is reporting issues. It takes time for millennial age deaths to be reported because they're usually not hospital deaths. So that data is going to be updated and probably shows a continued disturbing trend.
So as the people in the C-suite were avoiding the experimental therapeutic themselves, they were mandating it for their employees. Much like Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, who while promoting the rollout to others, cautioned his own executive lieutenants away from it.
I do just want to make sure that I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA to directly encode in a person's DNA and RNA, basically the ability to produce those antibodies and whether that causes other mutations or other risks downstream.
More millennials died in the last 18 months than all the boomers who died during the 10 years of the Vietnam War. The death rate is up, so mortality dividends are rolling in for corporations. A bankrupt sector is more susceptible to the perverse incentives of bribery, like how illegal immigration bankrupted hospitals, making them more susceptible to accepting subsidies to declare ordinary deaths as being related to a certain crisis. Every time they did so, they got a payout. The corporate sector, hemorrhaging for years, was offered a lifeline. Go along with the population reduction agenda, and hey, you just may be able to cash in. The New American Magazine is now on Locals. It's a for-pay platform for like $5 that gives you access to extra content and allows you to support your favorite hosts. As I said before, think of it like throwing some coins into the cup of a street performer. Check it out at thenewamerican.locals.com.